Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa Miriam Frun, Miriam Baschaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShal Meher Nashama, have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we share this evening and that we, Baruch Hashem, share together weekly. So we are in the middle of studying the Beis Halevi and Bitachon. This is the Sefer that I am quoting from. We began it last week, Beis Halevi and Bitachon. It's a new publication by Art School Masorah. And we were working on a specific chapter here in this essay, if you will. We're in chapter 23, Parak Chaf Gimel, Gader HaBitachon HaMe'uleh, which is the gate of the most advanced, or how's it translated by Art School? The ideal reliance on Hashem. So again, we skipped the whole first 22 chapters of the Sefer, but we are learning these past few weeks, at least a month, the idea of tzadik v'ralo, v'rasha v'tovlo, even those words indicate that in this world there are things that are bad. Tzadik v'ralo, a righteous person, and there is bad things that happen to him. Rasha, a wicked person, v'tovlo, and there are good things that happen to him. We have different words in Olam Hazeh to describe good and bad, to describe midas peranus, travails and afflictions, and simcha, rejoicing. So clearly there are different Gedarim in this world, different situations that we find ourselves in, and we are working on with different sources over this past month and a half. I would say we began in the Gemara, understanding this idea of when difficulties befall us, and ultimately, and I hope you find that to be the case, this the purpose, the goal here is to strengthen our bitachon and amuna, to strengthen our faith and our trust, our reliance on the Ribono Shel Olam. So last time we spoke about the pasuk, the Beis Halevi, Rav Yashar Ber Halevi Soloveitchik of Brisk, Zecher Tzadik Lufracha, spoke about the pasuk im lo shi vizi v'domamti nafshi kagamul alei imo. Pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Aleph. I swear that I stilled and silenced my soul like a suckling child at his mother's side. And the Beis Halevi has explained that the soul in this pasuk should be read as Ratzon, my desire. So we should read the pasuk, Im lo shi visi v'domamti ritzoni. Not really. When you read Tehillim, don't substitute the word. But the idea is that I stilled and I silenced my Ratzon, my desire, like a nursing child at his mother's breast. So what David HaMelech is saying is, just like a baby does not want anything, only what the mother gives it, so too the bitachon hame'ulah, the ultimate reliance on the Ribono Shel Olam, is someone who only wants what Hashem gives him. David HaMelech says, I silenced and stilled my own desires like a suckling child. A suckling child has no desire, only for what its mother gives it. So too, that should be our relationship with what comes our way in life based on what God gives us. And that is what we were speaking about last time. So one of the last sentences we read last time was, Rak asher shabitel ma'atzmo kol ratzon. David HaMelech was mevatel, he nullified for himself and from himself all desire. Rak asher ya'asa Hashem hu ritzono. Whatever Hashem does, that's my ratzon. Whatever you do for me, that's what I desire. This is, you understand, why it is bitachon hame'ulah, a very high level. It's a very high level to say, I have no desire other than what you give me in life, because we do have desires. And very often those desires don't seem to match up with what Hashem gives us in life. And so the highest madriga is, I only want, Hashem, what you want for me. There is no one who knows what is good before man, like the Ribono Shel Olam, like the Creator, blessed be He, knows. Which I just translated. New information. Vegam, and furthermore, Ein yicholes b'shum bria lehetiv lo rak habori. Ein yicholes Bishum bria lehetiv lo rakabore. There is in no creation and in no creature the ability to do good for you other than Hashem. We often look at people or things or instances that happen in our lives as good, and a person has to know there is no creature who could do good for you, rakabore. No one can, the Art School translation of that sentence is, until now it's been my own. And furthermore, no creature has the ability to help him besides the Creator. So when a person finds themselves in a difficult matzav, we rely on shadchanim, we rely on the doctors, we rely on the vaccine, We rely on our teachers. We rely on investment bankers. They're all just shlichim. Ultimately, they are shlichim for what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us. That's it. They, per se, cannot do anything good for us. Only God does good for us. In fact, I was listening to the shir by Rabbi Zev Lef, and he mentioned the shir that I mentioned last week, and he said, has God ever spoken to you? So the people in the audience said, no. So Rabbi Lef said, he is speaking to you. He's speaking to you right now. He said, I'm just the emissary. Hashem is speaking to you. When you learn Torah, it's Hashem's voice, so you have to know. There is no one who has the ability to help you besides the Creator. So any emissary or avenue or shaliach who looks like he has given you assistance, from the shadchan to the doctor to the teacher to the rabbi to the advisor to the therapist to the vaccine, is just a means in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam for him to give us good. Va'al kein, and therefore, ra'oila adam hashalem, it is worthy for the man of completion, sheyimsor ritzono biyad hayodei v'hayachol, to be moser nefesh, to submit your entire will, sheyimsor ritzono, to give up your will, biyad hayodei v'hayachol, into the hands of he who knows, and he who has the ability to do. Hashem is the kol yachol, the all able. So you should be moser yiratzon. You should give up. When we talk about moser nefesh, it means to give up your life. So moser ritzono means I have no will other than what God gives me. I think of a difficult time in your life, which maybe you're going through right now, or maybe you went through in the past. It's very hard to say this is ratzon Hashem, and this is the only thing that I want. It's Adar. Everything that Hashem does, a man has to accept with joy. Everything that God does, a man has to accept with simcha, with joy in his life. So I didn't have time to watch it today, but someone reached out to me to ask me if I saw Rav Eli Melech Biderman's clip from today, which I haven't been watching them recently, even though I love them. So Rav Melech Biderman, today apparently she said, he pointed out that simcha is from the word machshava. Simcha means bisimcha, mishenechnas adar marbim bisimcha, Titus 29a. When adar enters, we increase bisimcha in joy. If you scramble around the word bisimcha, it gives you the word machshava. When you are miscaving your thoughts, when you direct your thoughts to God, who is the yodei of yachol, the one who knows and is able to do, so you always be bisimcha. If you put your machshava to this is what Hashem wants for me, even though it's hard for me, even though sometimes you may feel like tzadik viralo, even though you cannot understand what Hashem is doing. You know, the Hasidic Rabbi said, if I knew him, I would be him. I forget where the quote is from. So it's not a negation to say, well, for me, it's hard for me, but I know it's from you. There's a higher level. It's not hard for me because it's what you are. I'm not there. Everything that God does, a person has to accept. Besimcha. How says Rav Melech, turn around besimcha and make it machshava. When you are miskaven your machshavos, when you put your thoughts to God and recognize this is what He wants for me and from me, then I will have simcha. V'yivtach, from the word bitachon, v'yivtach, ki bivadai asa hakol l'tovaso. Oy, v'yivtach, you must have bitachon, that everything that God does is for your good. The yivtach, I'm going to repeat it again, I just translated, ki bavadai, certainly. Asa hakol tovaso. Hashem did everything for your good. Vizeh haya madregas hatana'im. Shahayu omim koma da'avad rachmana letav avid. This was the level of the holy tana'im, who were able to say, everything that the merciful one does, like Rabbi Akiva, is for the good. Footnote. Again, so this is the Beis Halevi on Bitachon, like almost all the art school Sfarim and publications. It has the original text on top, the elucidation with translation on the bottom, and here there's always the art school footnotes for elucidation. You have the art school Medrash, Rabban, Chumash, and the Chumash Megillos. I'm sure you have the Gemaras, the Chumashim. This is how art school elucidates and helps us learn Torah. This was the level of the Tanaim, says the Beis Halevi, who used to say, whatever the merciful one does, he does for the good. So the art school footnote says, although many things may be perceived as bad, a person must believe they are really for his best. So once again, perceived as bad, which goes back to what we spoke about a few weeks ago. It's false to say that someone on our level, and you'll see that coming in this essay further, on our level, we have the perception of Ra, and that's why we say, tzadik viralo, rasha v'tova. That's why we say bein b'mida tova, brashi to devarim 6:5, ben b'mida peranos b'chol modecha, whether it's a good measure or a measure of affliction, because many things may be perceived as bad. But a person must work to believe they are for his best. So it's not a contradiction. Somehow this is for my best, even though I perceive that it's bad. Not my words here. Although we can sometimes see in retrospect that this was so, we must believe this is true, even if we don't see it. So while you're going through the Nisayan, the Puranos, the Ra, the Baruch Dayan HaEmes situation, you don't always see that it's for the good, but we have Amunah, that it's for our good. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary to Mishlei, writes that the difficulties one experiences in this world often serve as a kapara. They are an atonement for his sins. The punishment of in the world to come, Olam Haba, is far greater than it is in this world. Therefore, I'm just quoting directly. I'm not giving you my advice. One should rejoice. Rabbeinu Yonah writes this, okay? I'm just quoting in his commentary to Mishlei, 326, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chafav. I didn't look up Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm quoting from the Sefer. Since the punishment for sins in Olam Haba, the world to come, is far greater than the punishment for sins in Olam Haza in this world, one should quote, it's even hard for me to say this, rejoice upon experiencing difficulties here, knowing that they are protecting him by suffering here, we are being protected from much greater pain in the next world. It's very hard because sometimes the pain is so great that you wonder, could it be worse in the next world? And is this really for my good? But we have that belief and we have that amunah and the level of the Tanaim who were able to say, Kol ma'da avad rachmana, like Rabbi Akiva l'tav avad. Everything that Hashem does, the merciful one does, is for the good. Vizahu, continuing with the Beis Levi, Kavana Sapasuk. This is the intention of the verse. Now quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes. Kuf Yud Tes, chapter 119, is the letters of the Aleph Beis. Each letter, so Aleph Beis, Gimel Dal Hey, each letter of the Aleph Beis has 8 verses that start with, I'm sure you've looked up Kuf Yud Tes or said it as chus, sometimes they say for a fu, you spelled the person's name. In this chapter, Kuf Yud Tes, David HaMelech talks so much about his Ahavas Torah and his Dveikus B'Torah. For example, Ma'ahavti Sorasecha Kol Hayom Hisichasi, how much I love Torah all day, it is my delight in my conversation. What's the pasuk you say if you say it starts at Baruch? Atashem Lamdeni Chukacha is in the base. Baruch Atashem Lamdeni Chukacha is in that kapitel. So Kavites is the longest kapitel, and each letter of the Aleph Beis gets 8 verses. So kapitel Kavites, the hey, okay? Pasuk Lamites, Ha'aver Cher Parsi Asher Yagarti Kimish Betecha Tovim. Remove my shame that I was afraid. Remove the shame that I was afraid. Why? Avercha parsi, remove my shame. Asher yagarti, I was afraid. Ki mishpatecha tovim, because your laws, your mitzvahs, your mishpatim are good. So now there's David HaMelech saying, why was I ashamed? Remove the shame that I was, why was I afraid? Remove the shame that I was afraid. Your ordinances are good. Bikesh shayimcha lo hacherpa. Masha nisirei. David HaMelech was asking God, he pleaded with God to forgive him for the shame of being afraid. Ki hakol letova, because everything is for the good. Velo haya lo lira klal, you should not have been afraid of us. So, if you've ever been in a situation where you're afraid, you're in good company, because even David HaMelech was saying, I was afraid. In retrospect, he said, Hashem, forgive my pain, because I know everything is good. But we are human beings on our level. And like we're going to learn, we're not on the level of the Tana'im. So it's something we strive for, but it's a challenge. So insight A, which is longer than a little footnote, they also have longer insights. Reaching for the ideal. So we're taking a break for a few minutes from the Beis HaLevi's essay to quote insight A. Reaching for the idea. The Beis HaLevi had earlier mentioned that one who, earlier, in other words, we didn't do earlier, we started Perachav Gimel. The Beis HaLevi mentioned earlier, one who has bitachon, which we define as trust in God, is rewarded not only in the next world, but he will gain in this world as well. So someone who trusts in the Ribbono Shel Olam and lives a life of trust. Remember we quoted from the other sefer, also new by art school, the Chovos HaLevavos, Shar HaBitachon. Amuna is in theory, we said. We began last week's class with this. Bitachon is in practice. So you could have Amuna, but not Bitachon. Remember the mashal, Amuna is the roots, and Bitachon is the branches and the fruit of the tree. In other words, to live with bitachon means live with a visceral, real feeling of absolute reliance and trust on God. Amun is in theory, I believe in Hashem. But bitachon is to demonstrate that you live your life in a way that shows that you really believe in Hashem and you trust in Him. The Beis HaLevi mentioned earlier in this essay that one who has bitachon is rewarded not only in Olam Haba, it won't only be good for you in Gan Eden, but he will gain here in Olam Haza, in this world as well. He will not need to worry about any difficulties, the Beis HaLevi wrote. For through his bitachon, his reliance, the more one relies on God, the more he will be saved. Excuse me. In fact, the Beis HaLevi has also stated, the more bitachon one has, the less hishtadlus he will have to invest. The more one trusts in God, the less hishtadlus effort he will have to put forth. So I remember reading Rav Chaim Kanievsky on the Yamim Noraim, Rav Chaim Shlita says, I work for my parnasa twice a year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So someone who is on a madriga where he has so much bitachon, that's an example of the less hishtadlus he has to do. He has to work less, put forth effort less, because he has such absolute trust in God that it increases, the Rambam also speaks about this, it increases hashgacha pratis, divine providence. This, however, seems to contradict the Beis HaLevi's description of bitachon here. So this insight A, this little essay A, is showing us that there seems to be a contradiction. Previously, the Beis HaLevi says, whoever has more bitachon will have a better life in this world, not only in the next world. He will need to do less hishtados, less effort of his hand, and God will shine upon him more, so to speak. But here the Beis HaLevi is saying that in this world, those with high degrees of bitachon will suffer, and they will accept that that is Ratzon Hashem. How do you reconcile this? Furthermore, the Beis HaLevi states here, this description of bitachon, which we translate as reliance and trust, was a level of bitachon that the Tanaim reached. So how should I be on that level? Rabbi Kiv was on that level. How should I be on that level? This would imply that one taka must be on the level of the Tanaim in order to achieve bitachon. If so, how can bitachon be considered a Torah obligation incumbent on every Jew, as noted at the outset of this essay, if it is achievable only by people of great stature? So if Aaron Leib Steinmetzal didn't need to invest effort in eating much, because he subsisted on almost something that, I don't know, it's not me and I surmise not you, would be able to survive on, because he had such a high degree of bitachon, he needed less of Olam Haza. Rabbi Akiva, the level of Tanaim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita says, I work for my parnasa twice a year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If the rest of us did that, we would probably be in very big trouble and we might not have anything to eat in the house. So how could bitachon be a Torah obligation upon us if I am not on that level? That's what the Insight A is asking. The answer lies in what the Beis HaLevi himself stated at the beginning of this paragraph. He is now introducing the definition of Habgeder Habitachon Hameulah. This essay, this chapter, Perichav Gimel, begins with Umigeder Habotech Hameulah. The most absolute level of trust. The highest level of bitachon. Quote, it is very normal that a person has many desires and wishes. One who struggles with income prays and desires to be successful in business. One who is ill and sick prays and desires to be cured. For such people, the obligation of bitachon, the obligation of trust, requires them to strengthen themselves. I'm talking to me. With the belief that Hashem, and only Hashem, can save them. According to the intensity of their reliance on Hashem, they will merit salvation. However, so in other words, we just learned that it's very normal to have desires and wishes. One who struggles with income does not say, amongst us, hamon am, Hashem wants me to be starving, so therefore I'm not going to look for a job. One who is ill does not daven in Rifa'enu for healing. I surmise we all have a list of names of people we're diving for. I'm sure you do, like I do in my siddur. Do we daven? Don't we daven? So that means I have a ratzon. Someone who is waiting for their basher davens.
Why? Maybe that's what Hashem wants you to have. Why are you davening?
The Beis Halevi teaches us here that there is a level of bitachon that is far greater than this. A level that only people on the level of Tana'im can achieve. So I'm going back 3 weeks ago to the Shiur where I had consulted with the Das Torah of Rabbi Shai Schechter, if you recall. If not, these past Shiurim are all my Torah. It's really been a series, so it's hard to just jump in at this point, and it might be helpful to go back and probably kedai to go back to listen to the previous Shiurim on this topic. Rabbi Shai Schechter reminded us, and we learned it in the Gemara a couple of weeks before I spoke to him. That's why in this world we say Hatova, Meitiv, and Dayan HaEmes. We have two different blessings. Because sometimes we perceive that everything is good, Hatova, Meitiv, and sometimes we perceive great difficulties and challenges, Dayan HaEmes. In the next world, we're only going to say Hatova, Meitiv, with a different perspective. In this world, there's Tov, there's Ra, coming back to Tzadik V'Ralo. The level of bitachon, the whole impetus for all of this, if you recall, was someone who reached out to me saying that it seems to be that we should all be striving to see everything as good. There's no bad in this world. And I took great umbrage with that. For people on our level, I still do not agree with that. But like we're learning, we believe it's for the good. I even read that tonight. But we might not see. We read that tonight. Although many things may be perceived as bad, a person must believe they're for his best. I could believe it's for my best and still perceive it as bad. It's not a contradiction, you understand? A person could still make the bracha baruch dayan ha'emes and know that somehow this is for his best, even though he perceives it as bad. So I still take umbrage. I do not agree, and we could agree to disagree, and I believe that we're doing this in depth over a few weeks, months, giving it the time and the sources and the attention this topic requires. There is a level that only people on the level of the Tana'im can achieve. And that level, like a Rabbi Akiva, is like a child nursing from his mother. Just like a child has no desire whatsoever, for he accepts whatever his mother does for him. What does a nursing child want? He doesn't want more than his mother's milk. He doesn't know anything else. Whatever she gives me is what I'm going to have. What is he dreaming of? Steak? He doesn't know about steak. Is he dreaming of lollipops? What does he know about lollipops? Is he thinking about candies and chocolate milk and mac and cheese? No, he's thinking about his mother's milk. He has no, in other words, that baby has literally no desire for anything other than what his mother wants him to have. That's like the child nursing from his mother. That was the pasuk that he quoted from Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Aleph. Im lo shivisi v'domamti nafshi, I swear that I was silenced and stilled. Read it, ritzoni. I silenced and stilled my ratzon, like a nursling at its mother's breast. That's the level of the Tanaim. Just as a child has no desire whatsoever, he accepts whatever his mother does to him, so too a person on the highest level of bitachon. When faced with a challenging situation, has no desire to be freed from the situation. And he's going to bring up later, where is it? In an appendix? Yeah, appendix J, we're not going to get there tonight. Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was being killed, we've gone through this, Maseches Brachos 61b. When Rabbi Akiva was being killed, he was saying the Shema. He was saying, I don't have a ratzon. My time is up and they're killing me. I'm not davening for salvation. I'm not davening they should put out the flames. I'm saying Shema. Just as he is happy with poverty and illness, he is just as happy with poverty and illness as with riches and good health. For he is truly happy with any situation in which Hashem places him. Was it in this year? I'm sorry, can I know this last year? Was it in this year that we mentioned who is the one who said, Hashem who makes oil burn will make vinegar burn? Please help me. Golden leg, his wife said, we're poor. And so a golden leg came from Shemayim and he said, I see in Shemayim all the tzaddikim have 4-leg tables and we only have a 3-leg table. His wife said, take the leg back. Someone has to help me. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, thank you. Was it in this shiur that I told it over? So what shiur? I don't remember.
I don't remember. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his wife were very poor, and his wife said to him, how long will we live in such poverty? So he said, what should I do? So she said, daven for mercy. So he davened for mercy, and a hand came in from Shemaim and gave them a golden leg of a table. Maybe it was Pirkei Avos. Thank you. It probably was, because I don't know what other class it was in. So it probably was. Thank you. So a hand came out from Shemaim and gave them a leg of a golden table. So she was very happy. And then he said to her, I had a dream that that golden leg was taken from our Olam Haba, and all the tzaddikim, the righteous in the next world, are sitting at a table with four golden legs, and our table only has three legs. So she said, I'm going to be lacking in the next world. So he said, what should I do? So she said, daven, that they should take it back. So they took it back. Why am I bringing this up? This Ma'amar Chazal, why am I bringing it up? Because Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa wasn't davening that they should have parnasa. He wasn't davening for riches. He wasn't davening for the golden leg, because he was on the level of kol ma'ada avad rachman l'tav avad, whatever the merciful one does is for the good, so I'm not going to daven. But it's not for people on our level. It is important to note that this level is not for the vast majority of people, and I quote, the Beis HaLevi is referring to people who truly feel that seemingly evil events are absolutely good. They have no complaints at all. But one who is disturbed by his situation, like the vast majority of people, should rely on God to make it better in the future. That means I still have a ratzon. Do you understand? If I want Hashem to change this, then I still have a ratzon. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa didn't want anything. Whatever punishment you're going to be is fine. I don't care. We don't have, it doesn't matter if we don't have food. Hillel couldn't get into the base measure, so he laid on top of the roof and he was covered in snow. Rabbi Akiva didn't ask God to nullify the decree. He only said the Shema. He was Makabal Omachu Shemayim. So they are on the level of the nursling, the suckling child who dons nothing but the mother's milk. The vast majority of people, that means us, regular people, are not on that level. The Beis HaLevi is referring people who truly feel that seemingly evil events are absolutely good. One who is disturbed by a situation like the vast majority of people should rely on God to make it better in the future. It means I still have some sort of ratzon. We should not expect to be able to attain this high level of faith and contentment. So I still do not agree with the person who listened to me, who emailed me, who said we should be striving to live a life where we see the bad as good. I don't believe that. And I still don't believe it. Even after all these weeks and all this research and all these sources and consulting Das Torah, I don't think that's a proper approach for people like us. Otherwise, Chazal would not have said, you make Dayana Emes over bad and Tova Meitiv on good. It would only be Tov Meitiv. Everyone should be like the Tanaim. Everyone should be Rabbi Akiva. Everyone should be Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Everyone should be Rav Aaron Leibsteim. And everyone should be Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I'm not a regular person. I do not believe it's our avoda to see bad as good. It's our avoda to say this serves a good purpose. I can't understand it, but why am I davening for change? If it was good, I wouldn't daven for change. I wouldn't say Refrainu for healing. I wouldn't say Baruch Aleinu for Parnasa. I wouldn't daven for people for Zivun, Hagun, Bakarov. I wouldn't daven for them because it's good. It's not our level. We should not expect to be able to attain this high level of faith and contentment on our level. I'm quoting again. It is proper. That means what you should be doing is hoping, praying, and try to improve our condition in life and strive for more. But we can and should apply this concept to the past. If we can, we should work to apply this concept to past situations, to difficult situations we have experienced, to misfortunes we have endured, quote, to whatever degree we can muster. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei hasharis. The Torah was not given to angels who are one-dimensional. It was given to human beings with everything that a human being encompasses. Hashem made me with emotions. Hashem made me with feelings. Hashem made me with a moach. It behooves us to try to understand this level as clearly as we can, as it will help us gain a proper perspective on life's more difficult periods. So, amanti ki adaber. Hani machas al Hashem. You say that all the time. It says in the biography. I don't know. I wasn't zocheh to know her. We speak about levels beyond us. We strive to understand. We strengthen the root, the bark, the amuna, the faith. We try and live with bitachon, the peros, the branches, the fruits. Also have to be cognizant of my level, who I am, where I'm holding, and what is appropriate for me. There are a lot of comments. One second, please. So, correct. I agree. We can live with not being able to understand. But like one woman said, I always want to make the situation better if possible. As regard to the person, young man, is that supposed to say ALS? He causes him affliction, amatana from Hashem. It's a very high level. By the way, I'm not judging anyone else, chas v'shalom, who's either doesn't even see that it serves a purpose of good, or those who say bad is good. I just don't think that on the level of hamon am, our goal is necessarily to see the bad as good. Like we're seeing here, clearly this is a level for the tana'im. This is not, quote, it is important to note, this is not the level for the vast majority of people. Let's go back to the essay. Okay, v'zau kavanas ha-pasuk. This is the intention of the verse that I quoted already, but I don't want to start in the middle of a sentence. Ha'avercha parsi asher garti ki mishpatecha tovim. Excuse me. Remove my shame that I was afraid, for your ordinances, your mishpatim, your mitzvos are good. Bikesh, King David asked, she'yimcha lo ha'cherpa mashen isyarei. David HaMelech pleaded that God should forgive him for the shame. Why was he suffering shame? Because he was afraid. Ki hakol l'tova. Everything is for the good. V'lo haya lo liro klal. He should not have been afraid at all. So let's understand, it's David HaMelech who expresses his fears and his despondencies. Ukama amar hakasuv, like the verse states in Mishlei, Chav Tes Chav Hei, 29:25. Uboteach b'Hashem yisugav. A man's fear will bring a snare, but one who relies on Hashem will be fortified. A man's fear will bring a snare, like a trap, it will ensnare him. But one who relies on Hashem, uboteach b'Hashem, bitachon, yisugav, will be fortified. This week is Parshas Zachor, and on Parshas Zachor we read from Kiseitze, Amecham Alevecha, the last three psukim of the Parsha, Devarim 25:17-19. And we read, Zachar Sosher Salecha Amalek, Bederech B'tzeis Chami Mitzrayim, Asher Karcha Bederech, Vayizanu Bechol Kol Anechashalim Acharecha, Va'ata Ayef Ve'agei, V'lo Yarei Elokim. Remember what Amalek did to us on the way leaving Egypt. They chanced upon us on the way. Rashi gives three interpretations. What is the word Karcha? They attacked us. It was Mikra. They made it seem by chance. It was Lashon Keri V'tuma, on a mission of a man and ritual impurity, because they involved the Jewish men in homosexual relations. They made them impure, keri, mikra, karcha. And they cooled us off from cold to the whole rest of the world, like a boiling hot bathtub that no one wants to go in. One scoundrel comes and he jumps in and he shows the whole world, you know, the bathtub's not so hot, Taka. So they showed everyone, you know, Kaisho's not so hot. We know what happened to Pharaoh in Egypt, but you can attack them still. V'lo yarei Elokim. So there's a question, who was V'lo Yirei Elokim? Was it Klal Yisrael or was it Amalek? So V'lo Yirei Elokim, according to those who say, was Amalek. So Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch writes in his commentary to Chumash, when one is a Yirei Elokim, a Yirei Shemayim, when he reveres, fear is the wrong word, when he is in awe of, when he has reverence for God, he sees God. Going back to the fact that Rav Hirsch is the one who has really taught me to focus so much on Shorashim in my learning. The root word in Lashon HaKodesh for to see, lirot, ani ro'a etchen, is the same as to fear, to revere Yirei Elohim. Why was Amalek lacking velo Yirei Elohim? They did not revere, fear. They were not in awe of God because they did not perceive God in their life. If you see, so to speak, God, like Rabbi Zavlev said to him, and did any of you ever, did God ever talk to you? And they say no. He said, yes, they did. Yes, he did. He's talking to you right now, said Rabbi Zavlev. He's talking to you through me. I'm a conduit for God, he said. Those who see the Ribbono Shel Olam in their lives can't help but have Yiras Shamayim, revere, are in awe of, respect, trepidation before God. If you don't see God, if you walk around with blinders on, then you live an oblivious life that there's no Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, Chas V'Shalom. So of course you don't fear, respect, revere the Almighty if you don't see Him. So the first stage is I need to perceive Ribbono Shel Olam in my life. Boteach b'Hashem. Once I perceive God, I can have that awe of His awesomeness. I can come to work on relying on Hashem. But the first stage is to be aware that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to know that there's a God. One who relies on Hashem will be fortified. Insight B. Hashem's ways are hidden. After the Jewish people sinned with the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, which is coming up in Parshas Ki Tisa in 2 weeks, Moshe asked Hashem, Hareini nas kvodacha, please show me your glory. He wanted to understand. And Hashem said, you cannot see my face, because no man can see my face and live. You will see my back, but my face cannot be seen. Actually, let me screen share so we could see the psukim together, okay? Could you see my screen? Nancy, I could see you. Could you see my screen? Yes, are you nodding yes? Someone's nodding yes. Okay, thank you. Okay. Hareini na es kivodacha. Please, Moshe said, let me see your glory. Let me understand your ways. And Hashem said, I will pass all my goodness over your face. By the way, Rav Shem Shem Feloshin's commentary to Chumash on this passage, it's from Perek Lama Gimel and Shemos, says whoever delves into this passage is delving into some of the most deepest esoteric hidden parts of Torah. Moshe asked to see God's presence, and to some degree, God revealed himself. Rav Hirsch says, we're entering into some of the deepest parts of Torah. But then Hashem says, Lo tuchal lirot et panai. Can't see my face, because man cannot see me and live. There's a place with me. I'll put you in the cleft in the rock. I'll put you in the cleft in the rock. I'll put my palm over you. Viraisi asachorai upanai lo yerau. You could see my back, but my face you shall not be seen. So before I go back to inside B, tell you a beautiful part that I once heard. It ties in exactly to our shir. I have no idea where I heard this. That ties in exactly to our shir. Viraisi as achorai upanai lo yerau. In retrospect, when the event has passed us, when we're looking back, we can often see how it was for our good. And we have clarity and it makes sense from the back perspective. But going forward, frontward, upanai lo yerau, my face facing forward, when you're in the moment and you're trying to see forward, then you can't see. I hope I explained it well. In retrospect, v'ra'isi as achorai means that in retrospect, even in this world, when we look back, we could see how we grew from our nisyonos. I could tell you that. The nisyonos of my past, well, some of them are not past or ongoing, but totally changed me. I mean, like, I don't even know the person I was before. I could really say, Baruch Hashem. I don't want to be the person I was before. Whoa. Doesn't mean it's easy when you're going through it. But upanai lo yero, when you're in it looking forward or in it at the present, you can see Hashem's face. Meaning you don't understand. In retrospect, varasi as achorai. In retrospect, you could see how everything was actually for the good, how it was beneficial. But upanai lo yerau, in this world, in the moment of the nisayon, not in retrospect, in the here and now, You can't see. So in the, after the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, Moshe asked Hashem, we just saw the Pesukim on the screen, show me your glory, you won't see my face, no human can see me and live. This is the end of Perak, Lamed, Gimel, and Shemos, Parshas Kitisa. You will see my back, but my face cannot be seen. We just offered one pshat, it's not my own answer. I don't remember where I learned that. The Chasam Sofer explains, my face refers to Hashem's ways in this world before they are revealed to all, while my back refers to the next world when all will be clear. So it's a different pshat than the first interpretation. My face is upanai lo yera'u in this world. In this world, we cannot see clarity to understand what Hashem is doing. However, ureisi as achorai, from the vantage point of the olam ha'emes, the world of truth, it's revealed to all and all will be clear. Moshe was asking Hashem to show him that all tragedy and evil is really goodness. Hashem responded that in this world, the true goodness is concealed by apparent evil and tragedy, and that must remain hidden. So in other words, once again, true goodness, says the Chasam Sofer, is concealed by evil and tragedy, and quote, it must remain hidden. It will be revealed only in the world to come. You know, so much of what we do on Purim, so much of what we do on Purim is this idea of covering up. Megillat Esther, Megillas Esther, literally means to reveal the hidden. Legalot is to reveal, and Hester is hidden. So the words Megillas Esther, Legalot et Hanistar, to reveal what is hidden. We dress up in costume to show that the truth is hidden under the costume of this world. Rabbi Zevlev says that this world is like an astronaut who goes to space. The neshama, we're like wearing spacesuits. That's what the body is, he says. The neshama can't live in this world without a body, just like an astronaut can't live in the next world, whatever, in space, without a spacesuit. So in order for the astronaut to exist in the next world, he dons a spacesuit. In order for our neshama to exist in this world, it's covered up. But with covering up, with gashmis, comes a lack of clarity. So on Purim, we dress up to show that the truth is hidden. It is nistar, hester. You think it's an accent? Her name is Esther. Anochi Esther, Esther panai mikem bayamahu v'hayala achol. Tvarim 31:17-18, Maseches Chulin 139, Bi Esther min haTorah minayin. Everything was hidden. Hashem, whose name is never mentioned in the Megillah, I know HaMelech refers to Hashem. Hashem, whose name is never mentioned, was hidden. Queen Esther, as a Jewess, was hidden. Everything was covered up. So our costumes on Purim remind us that everything in this world is covered up. There's a costume to Kraplech and Hamantashen. The feeling is hidden inside, once again to show that the goodness and the truth is hidden from us. How interesting that the sages say that the time of Bias Gol Tzedek, all Yom Tovim will be nullified, and not Purim, because we will finally be Megale et HaHester. The truth will be revealed, but until that time, it is hidden. Her name was Esther. We do put on costumes. We do eat hamantash, and we believe that there's a pocket of goodness underneath. But sometimes we don't see it. Very often we don't see it. The Chasam Sofer says, "Ra'isi asachorai." That's in this world. Upanai lo yera'u. How is it possible that all tragedy and evil is really good? Hashem said, "In this world, that remains hidden. It will only be revealed in the world to come." So I don't think it's a negation to say this is hard for me and painful for me. At the same time, I know it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam, but in our lexicon, and in the lexicon of Torah, and the words that Chazal use to describe difficult situations, we have Puranos, we have Nisyonos, we have Ra, we have Kriya lo Aleinu, Yaakov tore Kriya, Binyamin caused the brothers to tear Kriya, Mordechai ran out into the streets tearing Kriya. Why? And Mordechai Adash Kol Asher Nasa. Why? Vayikres begadav, why? Vayilbash sak ve'efer, why? Vayetze b'socha ir, vayizak za'ako gadol amara, why? Why did he tear his garments, rend his garments? Why was he wearing sackcloth and ashes? Why was he screaming in the streets? Because the Maisa, the truth in this world is hidden from us. The goodness is hidden from us. And every day in the olam that is ne'elam, we strive to strengthen the roots and the bark so that the fruits are beautiful, to strengthen our amuna, so that our bitachon that we live by is strong. But there's different levels for different people. So if we feel painful situations are painful, it just means you're not on the level of the Tana'im. It means you're on the level of most human beings, most Jews. As long as we know it's for the good. For Isi Asachorai, in retrospect, I see how I grew. In retrospect, I see how I benefit. When I look back, Shadam for the Siyata Deshmaya, to get through the individual and communal, national nisyonos, till the end of days, when Taka, the Hester, will be Megaleh, and then it will make sense. This shir should be as chus refuah shalema for Miriam Frond, her Aliyah Neshama, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alal Shalom. I wish you all a week of besuros tovos and a good Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.